Welcome to Best of the Nest. We're the podcast all about bringing your best self home. I'm Marjorie Punnett with
Elizabeth Reese.
Oh, and Elizabeth, this morning we're talking about marriage. We're talking about playful marriages. And you know who else is talking about marriage?
Who?
Hailey Baldwin and Justin Bieber.
Isn't that the truth? Did you see their sexy photos in Vogue?
Yeah, very sexy. What's interesting is the conversation that they're having about marriage, not so sexy.
I know, so, and I'm kind of happy. This gives me hope for them because they're having some realistic conversations.
Expectations? One of the quotes was from Hailey Baldwin. I'm not going to go into who Hailey Baldwin and Justin Bieber are. If you don't know, Google them. They're everywhere. So Hailey says, and they're very young. That's the other thing.
They're 22 and 24. They're like you when you got married.
Yeah, I was a couple of years younger. I was a teenage bride. What can I say?
That sounds so bizarre.
It sounds bad. It sounds very bad. But Hailey says about marriage, the thing is, marriage is hard, she says. That is the sentence you should lead with. It's really effing hard. Yikes. This is the antithesis of what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah,
and I'm so glad we're going to talk about playful marriages.
It's a challenge because I get her point. I think there is something positive about going into marriage with realistic understandings that it is going to be a challenge, that this is something that you are going to have to put effort into every day, and that it's not going to be like cupcakes and rainbows and like naked dancing in the kitchen every day.
Oh, it is for us.
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the visual.
That got strange, but
it always does.
But it also makes me feel like a little bit nervous for them. I'm really conflicted about this because it makes me feel a little nervous for them. If you're already starting, I mean, they've been married for 5 minutes and you're like, this is so bleeping
hard.
I'm going,
it's so hard.
You know, when it gets really bleeping hard is when you bring in a child or when you're going through, you know, I don't know, the loss of something or like a job transition. Those times it gets
financial instability, which, you know, affects most people, not Hailey Baldwin and Justin Bieber. But I mean, when you come up against the real issues. Now, I said, I gave the quick quote from Hailey Baldwin. This is what Justin Bieber said about her and the marriage. I'm the emotionally unstable one. I struggle with finding peace. I just feel like I care so much and I want things to be so good and I want people to like me. Hailey's very logical and structured, which I need. I've always wanted security with my dad being gone sometimes when I was a kid, with being on the road, with the lifestyle I live. Everything is so uncertain. I need one thing that's certain. And that's my baby boo. See, now I have hope again.
Hope again, baby boo.
Hope again, baby boo. Oh, I love
If I called Jay my baby boo.
Oh, please do.
He would be like, now things are hard. What are you doing?
No,
oh, gosh.
My marriage just got effing hard.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're calling me baby boo. Would you do me a favor, though, Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Would you sort of surreptitiously record yourself calling Jay baby boo?
I should text him that and see what he says.
Please, right during this.
He'd be like, the cold is getting to you. He's on a golf trip right now, so he's living the high life.
Oh, okay. So text him, thinking of you, my baby boo. Text it right now.
All right, fine. I'll do it right now.
Do it right now. So during the podcast, we'll get the live response.
The last text I sent to him was, it's 10 below zero.
Oh, this is so much better.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of you, baby boo.
Sent.
And that's the perfect segue into Meredith Sinclair.
That is the truth. Welcome, Meredith.
Meredith Sinclair. She's the author of the book Well Played, The Ultimate Guide to Awakening Your Family's Playful Spirit. She's one of the contributors to the Today's Parenting Family, and she's a good friend to us. And good morning, Meredith.
Good morning, girls. Oh, my gosh. I feel like already just listening to you guys, like, this conversation could go like 3 hours. You could sit all day here.
That is the truth. We will try not to make it 3 hours, but we loved you so much on our last episode of Best to the Nest, Meredith, where we talked all about this idea of bringing play into your home and making really it like letting go of a little bit of the control and enjoying parenting more. And Marjorie said, okay, what do you think if we see if Meredith can come back for next week and we can really incorporate this into some marriage talk because Valentine's Day is upon us, and it all came together so beautifully. So thanks for being with us again, Meredith.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I love chatting with you guys, and I definitely have a lot to say on this topic as well.
Oh, yes, you do. And here's the thing. So Well Played is the book, and it's, you know, about having a playful family, but there's one fantastic, well, many chapters, but Play With Your Mate is a chapter I just love because I think this is what gets lost in so many families when the kids come along. Once you have kids, it becomes all about the kids, and people forget to attend to their marriages and to be playful with one another. You know, forget the kids for a minute and make sure that that playful spirit stays. And I think just a little side note, I've known Meredith's husband. Gosh, I think I met him when I was in my young 30s, Meredith, and you guys were pretty, I think you'd already been married like 5 years, but I'm just going to say this, and then I want Meredith to tell us a little bit about her sort of start story with John. You should know this about your husband, Meredith, and I know you already do, but I used to travel quite a bit with John, and Elizabeth, it was, I didn't know Meredith at all, but I knew her through John's eyes.
Yeah.
Because he would talk about her sweetly all the time.
That's so fun.
He just adores you. I mean, it was just the cutest thing. He was always worried. He was always trying to, you know, it was one of those things where you just knew this was a special marriage. So tell us a little bit about you and John and why it's so important to have a playful marriage.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you for telling me that. He's actually traveling right now. So yeah. That's sweet to hear. So John and I have been married. We're coming up on 28 years. And when you were saying, when you were saying you were a teenage bride and you got married early, that's what happened with us. We were high school sweethearts. So I met John when I was 15. He was 18.
Wow.
In a little town in Pennsylvania. Yes. Now I look back and I have a 21-year-old son and I'm like, wait a second here. What was I doing? Because I got married 2 weeks after I turned 21.
Oh my gosh, and you guys.
I know.
Yeah. And I'm ready for this next one. And I actually went through college in 3 years. Because I just couldn't wait to marry this guy. So I was like, okay, I don't want to stay in college longer than I have to. And we just rushed right into it, which in hindsight, I would not like say that is the blueprint for
success.
Getting married so early, but it worked for us. And we really sort of grew up together. So that's sort of how we got our start. And so when we got married, we were living, you know, I was from a small town in Pennsylvania. That's where I went to college. We got married and we left everybody. We went to New Jersey and started our life together. And, you know, what's significant about that now, when I look back, is that because we knew no one. John was he was TV cameraman at the time and this tiny little station. And I was a new teacher and we knew no one. But that also meant that we had to be a team. We were, all we had was each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of set the tone for our marriage. It was like, we are a team. We're in this together. You know, we didn't have friends around. We didn't have family around. And so that was significant for us. And because we moved a lot after that. And every time that you move, it's starting over again. And you come together as a team, which is very hard, but also really great. You know, it can make you or break you. So that's kind of how we got our start. But we're coming up on 28 years of marriage. So
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think in some ways that's why John and I sort of became work friends. And as Meredith had said last week, when we talked on our last podcast, your husband is very much an introvert, and so am I. So it's amazing we ever said two words to each other. But I think it was that sort of commonality of experience in one sense. I've been married 33 years, met my husband in college. He was a little bit older than I was and had come back to finish college, rushed through to get married, you know, just the same.
Yeah.
And I actually got married... I think I had just turned 21 as well. I could have been 20. But I've been married 33 years and it was so, I just couldn't wait for it to start. And that was sort of the fun beginning of it is I can still remember the first time I saw my husband. He was walking through, we both worked at the college newspaper. And Elizabeth, you can appreciate this because you know Ian so well.
Mm-hmm.
So I see him walk into the newsroom. I'm sitting at a computer. He walks in. He's wearing penny loafers, army pants, a plaid wool sweater. So it was like preppy, hippie, preppy.
Please talk about his hair.
Really long hair.
Great hair.
Yeah,
did he have like a wind machine? Because great hair.
He's got great hair. And so he walks in and it was just, and he was so, so broke then. I mean, he literally, if he was 150 pounds, I'd be surprised because he had no money for food. So just broke beyond broke. And he was just the cutest thing. And I remember looking at him and thinking, I know that man. Like, I know him. And we became, you know, I was in a relationship with somebody else. So we became really good friends. And we were friends for a year before I broke up with the other guy. And then just within 3 months, we were engaged.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I think within 6 months or 8 months of that, we were married. But again, to Meredith's point of it's not necessarily a blueprint for success of getting married so young. But the upside of it was we did grow up together. Mm-hmm. He was a little bit more grown up than I was when we started. So I had a bigger growth curve. But we grew up together. And we, too, because we were also in media, jumped markets. So we were in a couple of different cities. And every time, you know, it was just the two of us. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, how long was it before you guys had kids, Meredith?
We waited 7 years because we had, you know, we had, you know, dated in high school and then through college. And we just wanted a good chunk of time to just have fun, the two of us, to finally be together. And like you were mentioning the story about Justin Bieber and his new wife. And I got to tell you, I agree kind of with you. Like if you're already 2 weeks in and you're like, dang, this is rough. Like, you know, I feel like that time, while it's not easy, those first few years, that should sort of be a time of fun and, you know, a little bit of craziness and a little bit of just like getting to know each other in a really playful, fun way when you don't have the responsibility of other people.
Right.
Except for yourself.
Yeah.
And I would say that's how it was for John and I, even though those moves, like you, Marjorie, you know, we were jumping markets as well. Those moves were always a little like shocking and gosh, we got to start over and meet new people and new friends. But there is something to say about those beginning years of, you know, just keeping it a little bit light and a little bit, you know, keeping our sense of humor through it. And that sense of humor then translates also into playfulness and a little bit of lightheartedness, because as we all know, now that we've been married so long, I mean, that's just the beginning of unpredictability. I mean, what life brings you.
Yep.
And, you know, it's sort of like when you're riding a horse, right? Like if you're too tight and you're too like stiff riding that horse, you're going to feel every single bump. But if you just sort of relax into it a little bit and, you know,
actually, that's a great metaphor.
Yeah, it really is.
So, Elizabeth, you are a little bit different. Your story's a little bit different.
Oh, you guys, I'm the total opposite of you. I have, like, the polar opposite relationship. Well, first of all, Jay and I have only been married for 5 years.
Oh, she's such a newbie.
Just a newbie. But we got married when I was 32, and Jay was 32, and we lived like a whole life apart from each other. So it's a funny connection, but Jay and I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Go Badgers, everybody. We went to school at the same time. And we have a ton of mutual friends. We have like a lot of my girlfriends dated his guy friends, like a significant number. So we were at the same places with the same people, and maybe we met, but we don't remember. And so we never connected in college. Went on, and I was working in TV, and I went and moved to all sorts of different TV markets. Jay went on to play professional hockey, and so he was playing in the minors. So he was living in a different city every single year, playing different places. And then we were both engaged to other people. So we'd both been in 5-year relationships in our 20s. Which ended up in engagements, which ended up in broken engagements, and then ended up with us both moving back to the Twin Cities where we're from. So we're from different suburbs, and we met through friends here. And it's so crazy because we talked earlier in our podcast episodes about my little house that I just sold. And Jay and I met the week I closed on that house. And girls, that week I had gotten out of that relationship, was like dating. And I remember going, I'm just going to date anyone who asks me out. I'm going to go on a date because I need to totally redefine what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what I'd been in a relationship for so long. I didn't even know what I was looking for. I was about to turn 30. I was like, I think I was 29 when we met. And I said, I'm going to buy this house and I'm going to do it on my own. And if I end up in this house with my little dog living my life and having a great time, then that's going to be my life. And that'll be great. And if I end up finding someone, then I do. But I just was like, I'm not going to think about this anymore. I'm just going to enjoy what I have. And I closed on the house on Tuesday and met Jay on Thursday.
Like, oh, that's too fast.
Kid you not. I mean, isn't that like crazy how the universe works? Met Jay on Thursday, and we ended up not going out on our first date until a couple of months after, because his mom got sick and passed away within that time period. And so it was a very difficult time period for him. We went out on our first date a couple of weeks after his mom passed away, and we sat down at the restaurant at 7 and didn't open the menus until 9. And then ended up staying until like midnight and talking and probably breaking all the rules, which was like talking about our past relationships, and felt like this was really meant to be. And then fast forward even just a few weeks later, and I remember it was so significant that so Jay's mom passed away and my parents each lost a parent, a beloved parent, very, very young. And so that has always been kind of like part of our family story, is talking about those grandparents who were never around because they died very young. My dad's mom died 5 days before I was born. Oh. And so that first Christmas, Jay's family was really kind of like, you know, it's hard without your mom and there are different traditions and kind of figuring out what are we going to do. So I actually invited Jay to our family Christmas day, and we'd been dating for like 6 weeks.
Oh.
And he came to Christmas and my parents just sat down and said, like, tell us about your mom. We want to know about your mom. And because they both knew what that was like, you know, they knew what that was like to lose a parent when you were very young. And so for them, it was just an immediate connection. It kind of felt like, okay, this is a family that he could fit into. And and then we've been together ever since. So, and then we had a baby, and then we had another baby, and then we moved, and it's been the whole mayhem. But I love that we're talking about play in relationships today, because I kid you not, we were just having this conversation about the challenge a little bit right now is that Jay is not a morning person and I am not a night person. And when we have little kids, I'm finding myself being constantly like, when can I go to bed? I've got to go to bed. I have to go to bed. So I'm like obsessing a little bit about my sleep and making sure that I'm rested so that I can tackle everything the next day. Well, then what's happening is that Jay, I think, is feeling a little bit like, okay, my wife just goes to bed at 9 o'clock and here I am by myself. And then I'm feeling like, hey, he's not waking up early enough. And I'm feeling like by myself in the mornings.
Yeah.
So we were actually having this conversation and I said, how about I'm going to try to stay up later with you at least one night a week. Mondays, we watch The Bachelor. It's really fantastic. Tuesdays, I said, let's play ping pong in the basement on your sweet new ping pong table that you got.
There you go.
And so I kid you not, Valentine's Day week is going to be our first week, because he's been traveling this week, that we are going to be launching our ping pong tournament situation in the basement. Kids go to bed, cocktails are made, ping pong's happening, and
so
that's what's going down.
So is it ping pong
that's
naked?
Awesome. It'll be ping pong with clothes on, because it's too cold in the basement and I live in the polar vortex, so let's not get crazy, Marjorie Punnett.
Well, I think if we're going to go playful, it needs to be ping pong naked.
It's
right?
Strip ping pong.
There you go.
Strip ping pong.
At least, you know, after the cocktails have kicked in, it's got to be a little one last game of strip ping pong.
I love it. But, you know, we used to do, like, we used to play Trivial Pursuit together. Like, I used to crush him at Skip-Bo. We used to do, like, funny taste tests of things. I mean, all these little fun games that, you're right, it's easy to sort of lose that when you are in the grind. And, guys, I mean, we have a 4-year-old and an 18-month-old. Like, we're in the thick of it. So this idea of bringing playfulness into the marriage and, like, making it a priority, I love that we're talking about it, because we've been talking about it at home, too.
So let's start there. Let's start there, Meredith. Playful marriages. What does that mean to you?
Well, okay. So I, first of all, love that story, because if you're already doing that when you're in the weeds, as we say, in the trenches, and you're trying to keep that going, and even if it's a glimmer right now, because you're right, you want to just sleep, because you know the 18-month-old's going to be up early.
Yeah,
the keeping that thread going here and there is so important. And to me, a playful marriage and keeping play in it really means finding those little moments when you have time to not just sit on the couch or just go to the, like, dinner and a movie. I always say is like the least playful thing, because you don't talk in a movie.
Yeah.
You sit there, look at the screen. Like, and so it's really about connecting playfulness, as I sort of mentioned in the last episode, is that playfulness is a connector. Right? Humor is a connector. And if we can connect through playfulness, it's going to last, and you're going to keep that thread going through, like, the really fun times that are light and the really hard times that aren't and that are a little more, you know, challenging, like it can be with small children.
Mm-hmm.
So making the decisions and finding those little moments and those little shifts of, hey, we have a night tonight. We could turn on the TV, and that's fun. Netflix, great. You know, The Bachelor, great. But also mixing in that, like, your ping pong night John and I had, you know, we used to have a lake house in Michigan, and when we lived in Chicago, and we had a trampoline outside. And I mean, we would like jump on that trampoline. My husband is 6'7", okay, very long, lanky 6'7", and we would just, you know, sit by the fire, and then we would like jump on the trampoline and laugh so hard. And there's a connection. Yeah. There's like those endorphins that you have when you're doing something playful and joyful are very similar to those sort of, you know, happy endorphins that connect us in all other kinds of ways too. So it's a natural aphrodisiac. It really is. That playfulness is an aphrodisiac. We see each other in a different light. You know, we check our egos at the door and we get down to like what connected us. And in my book, I write about like when you're dating, the dates that you could probably remember the most probably had some sort of playful element in it where you were laughing, you were connecting, you were a little bit more lighthearted, and you saw that other person in a different light than the facade that we can put, you know, on when you're dating, which is I want to look really good and I want to say the right things and I'm a little nervous and I want to, you know, put on a really lovely front for this person. But then there's a moment in dating where you maybe do something sort of playful and fun and you see you lift the veil a little bit. Maybe you went to an amusement park. Maybe you jumped in a lake together, a skinny dip, whatever it is. Like you lifted the veil and you
I want to go to the skinny dip. Stop there for a second.
Okay.
I'm not obsessed with nakedity, but...
Yeah, you are. You love the Free the Nipple campaign. This is like your whole thing.
I forgot about that.
We did a whole, like, 2-month stint on our radio show, Meredith, about Free the Nipple, and Marjorie's like, let's do it! Free it!
Okay. Marjorie, there's a theme happening here.
I don't like bras. They're uncomfortable.
Yep, and she doesn't like them.
I don't like them, and I'm pretty flat-chested. Why do I have to wear one? Why? Why?
You don't. Free the nipple.
You don't.
Free the nipple. Okay. But so skinny dipping. I've never been skinny dipping.
No,
ever.
Really?
Okay. This
oh, girl. Oh, girl.
Oh, Marjorie Punnett. You got to get your naked little hiney in a body of water.
Yes.
This is what I was going to ask. Have you both been skinny dipping?
Absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely.
Are you alone?
Well, I've been with friends or, you know, yeah. Totally.
Well, you've been skinny dipping
with your husband. I mean, yeah, alone with... You know, I like a little, you know, a little of that, but I don't want to do it where someone could happen upon me.
Yeah.
That I don't really want to see me naked.
Right. That's true.
So
that's
always, you know, I always sort of make sure. Now, right. Okay, I hope my children don't listen to this, but we live in California now. We happen to have a pool in the backyard. When we don't have children at home, there's sleepovers happening. That's a great time because, like, it's in our backyard. Like, no one's going to happen upon me in my fenced-in backyard.
That's so true. Our honeymoon, we had a private pool at the house we stayed at in our honeymoon. And it was like, well, I mean, why wear a swimsuit? Whatever.
Mm-mm.
And I was in, like, good wedding shape, guys.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Who cares if somebody sees? At that point, like, this is about as good as it gets.
All right, so I am clearly missing out. I've got to add that to my list. But, you know, Meredith, what you were hitting on, and in the book, Play With Your Mate, in the chapter, you talk about play aptitude is what you're getting at. And so, Elizabeth, in her book, she's got this whole list of sort of checking your mate's play aptitude. And the cool thing about this, Meredith, is I actually thought if you're at dating someone right now, you're not married yet. I mean, you can do this with the person you're married or your significant other. But if you're dating somebody, I think this list is super key as to whether you want to continue a relationship with this person if you want a playful marriage.
That's why I did it.
Yeah, it's so cool. So you already hit on one. Go to an amusement park. But in the book, you say, Meredith, go to an amusement park and play some of the rip-off carnival games. If he says it's not worth the money, run. I think, Meredith, I think this is brilliant.
Because it's about the experience.
It's about the experience. Yeah. And if you're dating and some guy says that, he is not going to be fun when there are hard times. I guarantee it.
He missed the whole point. Yeah, exactly.
Water balloons, you said, super soakers, sprinklers, in white t-shirts. Yeah. Very sexy. That's very sexy stuff. I just think this is brilliant. But this is the one I love. And then you can chat about this a little bit because I think this speaks to sort of how you've lived your life with your husband, Meredith. Check out a celebrity impersonator show. You want to be with someone who will stand up and cheer for a fake Bruce Springsteen. I fell more in love with my now husband when I saw him do this in Myrtle Beach back in the 90s. Why is that important?
True story. So this happened. We went. We were, like, very young. I don't we were married, but it was early. And my husband is a huge Bruce Springsteen fan, huge, like massive. And we saw that, you know, there was an impersonation show. We thought, how ridiculous. Let's go do this. And we happened to be with some other family members who were not nearly as amused as we were and sat there with their arms folded, like one of our family members. And I thought, wow, okay. And this Bruce Springsteen came out. We didn't know he was going to be a part of the show. And literally, I thought my husband is going to, like, not dig this because he loves the real Bruce Springsteen. But we got, of course, I jump in the puddle with, you know, I'm at, with 2 feet. So I jump in and I'm standing up and hooting and hollering. And he gets up and does it too. And we were full on into it. And I thought, this is the guy. I'm so glad I married this guy because you have to allow for the ridiculousness.
Yeah.
You know, of life. You can't fight it. Why would you fight it? Like, go there, acknowledge that it's ridiculous and enjoy the ridiculousness because life brings a lot of that, good and bad, right? Yeah, so I threw that in there too because it was another one of those like sort of light bulb aha moments of, yeah, I picked right, you know? I picked the guy that will jump in and is not afraid to be silly, you know? And again, I talk a lot about ego in play, fullness. Because if we hold on too tightly to our ego and our, you know, facade and what we want people to think of us, that just doesn't allow for fun, enough fun and playfulness in our lives. So yeah, I made this list for that reason. It's the very beginning of the chapter because I wanted, hey, check your mate, checkmate on this. You know, like if you're just dating, just go through this list and make sure. And it's okay. You can. I do think you can change people in this way. You can influence them, maybe not complete change, but you can influence them through your own playfulness. This can be achieved, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, I love even moving forward from that idea of playfulness and how attractive that makes your mate. And especially as we're, you know, around Valentine's Day and talking about the romance, the romance is not all about like this staged mushy gushy thing. I mean, most women will say that a sense of humor is the most attractive thing about a man. It beats out money. It beats out looks. It beats out stability. It beats out anything. That a sense of humor is so wonderful. And when I think about like the most attractive that my husband is, it is right now this place. We have this landing at the top of our stairs that's carpeted, and it's in between our bedroom and the kids' bedrooms, and it's a pretty big space, and they are every night wrestling on the carpet. So we get them into jammies, and then Jay says, "Who wants some wrestling?" And he always calls it wrestling, which I think is funny too. And he turns into a giant bear and crawls around and growls at them, and they are launching themselves onto him, and they are laughing so hard. And I've been taking videos of it. And taking videos of him playing with them and them laughing. And I think it is like the sweetest, most wonderful sound. And it also makes him the most attractive to me. Like seeing him play with our kids and not even just seeing him like, I mean, seeing him sweet to them is so wonderful. But seeing him on the ground turning into a bear, like just whatever. And then the occasional, oh, when someone like, you know, launches a little too hard right onto his gut. He's like, whoa. It's just so fun.
I mean, and I wrote a little section in my book called it's all about foreplay. Foreplay. You know, to your point, that is the sexiest thing. My husband is not a you know, textbook romantic. He's not. But what is attractive is what you're saying right there. And I think everyone feels that when they see it, and they know it when they see it, and it's just allowing ourselves to go there, more often, you know, and then to go there together. Like, I cannot wait to hear about your ping pong night. I think it's going to be the sexiest thing ever.
It's not going to go as far as Marjorie wants it to go, but it is going to be.
I know. Let's get naked.
I'm pretty excited about it, and I think I'm gonna make us like bandanas and stuff to wear, and just and have like, you know, the different teams, and we're gonna really go head to head. I think it'll be fun.
But I think what you said, it goes back to what you were saying, Elizabeth, and I, you know, I remember those times too, where, you know, the morning show started when I was doing the radio show with my husband at 5:30 in the morning. So there'd be this anxiety that would start about 10:30 of like, okay, if I don't get to bed now, I'm getting so many hours of sleep. And then it'd be 11:30 and you're like, oh my God, now I'm only gonna get 5 hours of sleep. And it, like that every night was sort of the thing. Now, that is a romance killer right there. I mean, that's going to, fatigue is going to take you out of any sort of playful mood. And I think you have to fight that all along the way. And I think you have to go back to the things. And this is why I think it's so important, is that idea of laughter. I know that's why. I mean, that was, other than the crazy look of the fatigues and the preppy sweater and the preppy shoes and the great hair, my husband makes me laugh. 33 years in, we've had some ups and downs. I mean, there's a, you know, you could chart it on a graph. And what has always sustained us is our deep love for one another, but his ability to be playful in times of stress and make me laugh in times of stress, and to ease our whole family dynamic in times of stress. And I just think when you're in the marriage, or even when you're beginning to date somebody, you can't underestimate somebody's ability to play, and noting how much you need to have that in your life, because things will hit. They just will. Yeah. And you'll have to find a way through them. And it's much better with laughter and playfulness.
Okay, you guys, you want to know my most fun trick right now? If there's like a tense exchange or text exchange, or like you leave and you kind of feel like, you know, we were like at each other about certain things. So a few weeks ago, this was happening with me and Jay, and we were just like, it was just feeling like this was not working and this was not working, and we were just balancing everything. And I decided that instead of discussing it anymore via text message, I was just going to send him funny GIFs of like dancing babies, or like weird SNL characters. Or just like whatever. And so we just, I said, okay, I'm done talking about this. I'm just going to send you GIFs. And then it turned into this like GIF war back and forth of just funny images. And it was such a good example and like such a good reminder to me that when you sometimes feel like you're just not getting anywhere in the conversation, or you're not solving the problem and they're not seeing it your way, or I'm not seeing it his way, or whatever, to just diffuse with humor and just step back and say, we're going to take a break and then we'll figure this out later, and get the humor in, made such a difference. It turned that day from terrible into great.
That is a great example. And that is what you did, is you connected again at the base level of, we know who we are. Yeah. Like we laugh together. We have the same humor. We still love each other. It's still like, you know what I mean? It's, you connected the dots through something that was disarming. And that's beautiful. And you know, I'm a huge fan of the Bitmoji, Animoji, like the new Animojis where it's your face. I actually sent one to my husband last night. That is so brilliant, because I tend to always use a sillier voice than my regular voice when I'm doing it. It's my facial expressions. I laugh at myself doing them. Like, I love it. I love it so much. I'm a huge Bitmoji girl. And just doing like Bitmojis back and forth is hilarious. And it not only in the good times, but like what you said, in the sort of sticky times. It's such a great connection. And, you know, I think we underestimate the power and the necessity of playfulness and humor to sustain us in a marriage that is and will be hard.
Yeah.
Because it is hard. I mean, connecting with somebody for many, many years, monogamy is I used to say this to my husband, and he would look at me like, are you serious right now? Like, I used to say, I don't know that monogamy is a natural thing for human beings. Like, I just don't know that it is, like, it doesn't come naturally. I think we think it should, and I don't know that it does.
I think you're right.
Do you think that gave him pause, Mary?
Yeah, a little bit. He was like, wait up.
And then he's probably thinking, I got to make sure I'm, like, putting effort into this.
Yeah.
You know?
But you know what? Honestly, it's not.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, even the idea, I think this is so funny that, okay, you sleep in your own bed by yourself from the time you're like 6 months old, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you are in the bassinet and then you're moving to the crib. And then you are by yourself and you're in your, you know, your high school bed, and then you're in your dorm room, and then you're in your apartment and you're doing whatever. And then you meet someone and you decide that this is the person you're going to share your life with and do the hardest things with. And then you are expected to share a bed with them. You've never shared a bed with anyone.
No.
And then that person flips and flops and snores and toots and does the whole rigmarole.
Oh, Jay's going to appreciate that one.
And you're like,
What?
This really, yeah. And that is the funniest thing, because I think of all, like, the just the sort of strange, bizarre things that come from marriage, the fact that you just have always slept by yourself and just been peaceful and harmonious in your own sleeping, and then it's like, now we're going to sleep together too, is fascinating to me.
That's putting a lot on the marital plate in terms of, like, being together 24/7, loving each other 24/7. But it goes back to, and we're going to wind this up in a minute, but I do want to, before we go, I do want to talk about, because you've already touched on it, Meredith, of that idea of foreplay. Because we can talk about playfulness, but let's be really clear. What we're talking about is, if you're not in a playful marriage, if you're not laughing, more than likely you're not having a great sex life.
Truth, sister.
So
let's talk a little bit about that idea of foreplay before you go, because I think that's so important, is you've got to feel connected. You may be, if you don't feel connected to your mate, you may be having sex, but it's probably not the greatest sex you've ever had.
You're not digging it. And you're like, you might be, and then it turns into resentment. So foreplay for guys and girls, it looks naturally, can look very different. Like, we all know, we've all heard it. You know, my husband has worked in a women's television network for many, many, many years, and has heard every relationship expert. And most of them would say, you know, men naturally connect through sex and then find that connection through sex. Like, they can start there.
Yeah.
Right.
Women have to, it's a build to get there. And so we're on, this is what I'm saying, the monogamy thing, okay? We were created, like, we're coming at this from two different places. So you have to find the connection and the thread. So for us, that has been playfulness. Like I said, my husband is not like the put a card on my windshield. You know, over the 28 years, I've been like, do you know how quickly I would jump in bed with you if you just put a card on my windshield? but like, I told him, I swear to God, like 250 times. It's not happening. It's just not his thing. That's fine. You know, the foreplay part of it for us is in the silliness and the playfulness. We've found that connection. So, and this looks different for everybody. So what might spark that for us, it was going to look different for you. So I think, though, that thing was like the ping pong game that you're going to play.
Yeah.
You are going to find that really sexy, and you're going to like, I don't know how long that game's going to last. It's like, you know, but for us, you know, it can be, I write in here some examples of foreplay. Start with playfulness. It could be the sexy text in the day. But here's what I would say about sexting your husband. I'm not talking about sending nude pictures, because that makes me real nervous.
Makes me so stressed out.
Like any body part in the, you know, on the cloud.
Yeah. I'm with you.
But the flirting through text throughout the day, like on a Friday, getting ready for, like, you know, the weekend, and if you want to connect that night, that's a great way to do it.
But are you good at that?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I am good at it. I'm good at it. Okay, here we go. I'm revealing a lot. We'll use, you know, the emojis. That same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we have code emojis.
Eggs,
for sure.
And peaches, you know, that kind of thing.
We have the ones with the people that mean certain things.
Yeah, we use those.
And I've never done that.
This is good.
That's so good.
Oh, yes. Eggplants, peaches.
Yeah, you guys get real literal there, Meredith.
Yeah, we do. And
way to go.
Like bitmojis and stuff. But I will say, if you do that with your husband, you kind of have to, you're going to have to, like, how do I say this? You can't back out.
You got to follow through.
You got to follow through.
Oh.
Like, you got to be real prepared that, like, because
that you got to have sex.
Yeah.
You got to have sex.
Yeah, because that has happened to us before where John, oh my God, he's going to die. He's such a private person that I'm saying this, but we've done that in the day sometimes, and then I'll get, like, I'm tired. Or, and he's like, you can't do that to me. He's like, I've thought about this all day long. you got to, like, work with me here.
Okay. So that's that's a good tip, though, that if you're going to play,
you got to,
you know, if you're going to text, you got to follow through. Got to have follow through. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of finding what it is for you as a couple, because I wouldn't dare to propose like what works for us onto everybody else.
Meredith, you're the best. This yes. is so fun. We said we could talk for 3 hours, and we're about to hit that. We gotta. Yeah. It's just a joy to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Meredith. Again, she's the author of Well Played: The Ultimate Guide to Awakening Your Family's Playful Spirit, and we hope to be chatting with you again because it's just a joy. But please, if you have a family, if you're about to get into a relationship, Well Played. It's just a wonderful, wonderful book. Thank you, Meredith.
Thanks for having me, girl.
All right. Take care. So Bye. Much fun. Oh, my All gosh. Right. It's so fun. You know, Marjorie, I think the theme is really, I was thinking about this as we were having this conversation. It's just about maximizing your connection. And when we yep. talk bigger picture about bringing your best to the nest and making your nest happy, healthy, beautiful, so much of that at its core is just being connected.
You're
being connected
right.
to the people that are in your nest, being connected to the things that are in your nest, and being connected to your actual nest. When you're connected to something, you are automatically invested in it, and you naturally, I think, just like the natural thing is to just be your best. It's that disconnection and that sort of like distance that makes it easy to think of, you know, to be kind of crabby and selfish and blech.
Yeah. And you've mentioned it before in other podcasts, but the idea of being able to leave joyously. And that's what connection gives you. It gives you that foundation, I think, that you can go out into the world and sort of share that. But this is just so much fun. And I'll be thinking about Naked Ping Pong.
Naked Ping Pong. I don't think it's going to be naked, but I think it's going to be ping pong. I do not want to leave you without sharing what Jay's response was.
Oh, good.
When you forced me to text him what Justin Bieber says to Haley, which yeah. is thinking of you, my baby boo.
Yes.
So I sent that to him and he replied with an emoji. Obvi.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's how we communicate and it's great. Yeah. With the emoji of the confused look face with the hand on the chin going,
Huh. Okay.
And then I just replied with the crying, laughing face, and I will explain the Bieber situation to him, and then he will get it. So yeah, thanks for that, Marjorie Punnett. You're
my
awesome.
My Jay, my baby boo. Every time I think of Jay, he's going to be baby boo.
Baby boo. All right. Follow us, you guys. Best to the Nest on Instagram. We have a brand new Facebook page, Marjorie. Did you
Thank
know
you,
this?
Darling. Thank you, darling.
That's ready to go. We have a website in the works. And please share with your friends. Boy, and can I just say before we go, I have worked in television and radio for, gosh, now 17 years. Mm. And the feedback that we are getting from you on this podcast via the reviews, the emails, the social media is, I mean, it's far and away, Marjorie, it's the most meaningful I have ever gotten in my career.
Oh, thank you.
And I could just, it just is a joy. This conversation to me is a joy.
I feel the same way.
Agreed.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.